is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to concentrate on the topic of survival. Survival, perhaps, is one of the most important human functions, and it's something that every person as an individual must demonstrate the will to survive and then take the corresponding actions necessary to survive. Whether you're a single mother or in a marriage or in a family or not a family, alone, whether you're in the ministry, whether you're the head of a church or whatever your position is, whatever your social relationships are, whether you have children or grandchildren or whatever, the key here, and as a nation, America's duty right now is to survive. If you live in England or Germany or Italy, your duty is to survive. If you live in China, your duty is to survive. There are certain places in life when things become very, very primal, very, very basic, and we have arrived in what I would call or label a primal zone, a basic zone, a survival zone, where whether or not you live, your loved ones live, and you are able to carry on, is going to be contingent upon you having the best intelligence, the best information ahead of time. In other words, if you have critical information that would enable you to survive, but you can't, you don't have access to that information, you're not aware of it exists, then there's going to be a lot of people that perish. One of the goals of the Paul McGuire Report, one of the primary goals of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, is to ensure that people, all people, and God's people specifically, have the spiritual, practical, and psychological skills to be overcomers and to survive. Now, I'm very serious about this. There's going to be a little bit of a serious tone in this program because we are all facing a wake-up call. And now, more than ever, we need leadership, and you need to follow leadership that you are convinced is not only knowledgeable, abreast of the facts, but has your best interests in mind. In other words, they're not just looking out for themselves, they're looking out for you. And so we attempt to do this on the Paul McGuire Report by giving you information and facts that are credible, but that you will not hear about or read about or watch in the mainstream media, including conservative cable news network type programs. They will only give you a one or two dimensional analysis. They are not giving you all the information you need to survive. So if you're going to be fixated for your intelligence, for your information, for your data upon which you will make decisions, and you're looking to a news or information source that is not giving you all the pertinent facts that you need to survive, you're doing yourself a major disservice. It's time for you to switch channels. It's time for you to switch radically where you're getting your information from. Now, you just don't switch anywhere. What you switch to is what, after your careful study and your prayer to the Lord and using spiritual discernment, because the Holy Spirit will guide you. I'm not saying that everybody in the mainstream media are bad people, especially in the conservative mainstream media. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying necessarily they're deliberately withholding information from you, but they are under all kinds of restrictions and guidelines. And many of them, unless they're an expert in all these various fields, are really not capable of a multidimensional analysis because, as somebody said in an insulting manner, but it's basically true in a lot of cases, not all cases, a lot of these people who are pontificating in the mainstream media, who pontificate the loudest, are nothing more than typists. They don't have, it doesn't matter whether they graduated from Yale or Harvard or Princeton or whatever, that's irrelevant. I've been on the biggest shows on the biggest cable news channels. I was on constantly for 10 years as a primary go-to person on television who debated some of the most powerful and effective people who held the opposite political and social viewpoint that I did. And I won every single debate. Why? Because I'm a super genius? No, because I worked 100 times harder in preparing for the shows that I would appear on. While these other people, I guess, were partying and drinking booze, I don't know what the heck they were doing, I was up late at night memorizing the facts, data, and statistics so that when I debated the experts, whether they were financial experts like the chief editors of the Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine, and things like that, whether I debated them or other financial analysis, I would often win the debate simply because I memorized all the facts and data, whereas they just walked in and expected to rest on their laurels. Now, having said that, I don't claim to be a medical doctor. I don't claim to be a scientific expert on pandemics, etc. I want to once again emphasize you need to go to a qualified medical doctor, not just any medical doctor, a doctor who knows his or her stuff in this field if you want viable answers. What I am is a Bible teacher, a licensed minister of Paradise Mountain Church, an author of over 54 books, and a researcher who has studied for decades, among other things, pandemics, biological warfare, and the consequences. You say, well, why would you study that? Actually, that's irrelevant at this moment. The reason I studied that is because when I began to study Bible prophecy after my house almost collapsed during the Northridge earthquake, because my house was on top of one of the dual epicenters, that changed my perspective radically as to the immediacy of Christ's return. And so I began to write books where I did an enormous amount of research, not only on the prophetic scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I would do enormous research on prevailing current events, geopolitical events, scientific trends, cultural trends, technological developments that connected with Bible prophecy. So when Jesus Christ gives us the signs of the times, this is a heads up by the Lord Jesus Christ regarding his return to this earth. And in Matthew 24:25, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ gives us, as Lord, as God, as King, Jesus Christ gives us a prophecy, a prediction, in order not to spread fear in us, but in order to prepare us for what is to come. And now, what is to come, the signs of the times, are not static, they are accelerating. And so let me read you something, what Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Now the temple that's being talked about here is Herod's temple. And Herod was a Roman ruler and king. And he invested a fortune in rebuilding the Jewish temple. And so when Jesus was teaching his disciples, the massive structure behind them as Jesus Christ was preaching and ministering to his disciples, shortly before he ascended into heaven, was this giant Jewish temple known as Herod's Temple. So that's the temple that's behind them. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not?" When Jesus says all these, he's pointing to the temple. "Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Jesus Christ, the stones that Jesus Christ is referring to are the stones that have built the temple. And he's telling his disciples regarding this magnificent temple that there will not be left on this temple one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. So Jesus Christ is making a specific prophetic prediction about the coming destruction of the Jewish temple shortly after he ascends into heaven. This is critical to understand this. So in verse 3, it says, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?' And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one misleads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray.'" So the first thing that Jesus Christ warns his disciples about in the last days, and by the way, he's also warning us in this generation through the Word of God, Jesus Christ is saying the first thing that we need to recognize at the end of the age, and we're at the end of the age, by the way, is that Jesus is telling you and me and all believers that we are not to be led astray by false prophets, false Christs, false teachers, doctrines of demons, etc., etc., and false messiahs. Jesus Christ is telling us that spiritual deception, including people claiming to be Christ, claiming to be the Messiah, will super escalate, if you will, during the last days. Now, if we look back, let's say 30 years, three decades, and we look at what's happening now, one of the things you will notice that has happened in the last 30 years, 40 years, up to the present moment, is we have had an explosion of messianic figures, people claiming to be the Christ or Jesus Christ, people claiming to be God. Many of these people are gurus who claim to be God. And there are millions of people who follow these gurus around the world, thinking that they're God or the Messiah. Some of these people are the heads of cults. Jim Jones, a very tragic figure, to say the least, told his people that he was the Christ, but he was going insane. He was demon-possessed. He was doing drugs. He was obviously possessed by demons, because only that could explain why he convinced his followers to follow him to Guyana, where he had a mass Kool-Aid ritual in which the Kool-Aid was filled with barbiturates and drugs to put people to sleep, but the Kool-Aid also contained a killer poison. And so many people died. You saw the pictures of their bodies strewn everywhere. And some of these messianic leaders who claimed to be Christ seem to be driven almost demonically to bring their followers into death. I don't know if you remember his name. I'm not even sure I remember the correct pronunciation of his name. Many of you may remember the Hale Bopp cult. I remember driving back from the radio station where I would do the Paul McGuire show for many years, and driving a long distance as I was approaching the area of LA where I live. I would move up the 5 freeway, and you could see this massive comet floating up in the sky. And it lasted for months and months. I don't know how many months it lasted. It lasted a long time. And it was a huge comet. I mean, it was no small thing in the sky. It was gigantic. It was eerie looking. And then there was this cult down there in one of the, I think it was Rancho Santa Bernardo, which is one of the wealthiest zip codes in the world. I believe that's where his cult was. And the head of the cult, don't quote me exactly on his name. It was, I believe it was Marshall Applebaum or something like that. Applewhite. Don't quote me on it, but that I think was his name. And he was that weird guy you saw on all the TV and news with those bug eyes, the bald head, and he looked like he came out of a UFO. Now, this man had such demonic charisma that he convinced his cult-like followers who occupied a very wealthy mansion-like house, and they ran their computer business out of it in a very wealthy neighborhood, unsuspecting to all their neighbors, this guy, the head of the Hale Bopp cult, convinced or hypnotized his followers to not only castrate themselves, but to drink poison. And so many of these destructive cults bring their people into suicide because the people who claim to be Christ are really demon-possessed. And so you have all these gurus, going back to the Beatles, who followed Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of Transcendental Meditation, who claimed to be a messiah, who claimed to offer Christ consciousness, and on and on and on. You have people in the witchcraft community who claim to be God. You have people in the Luciferian community who claim to be Lucifer. You have people in all kinds of false religions and cults around the world who claim to be God or God's spokesperson, and they're not. And people who follow them are violating the warning of Jesus Christ. They're being deceived by false prophets and false Christs and false messiahs. Now, in addition to that, there are the more abstract and nuanced false Christs. I would say communism or socialism and Marxism, developed by Karl Marx, etc., is an anti-Christ system, not in the traditional sense of being a religious cult, but in the sense of being like a financial cult. Communism simply replaces traditional religious figures and deifies men like Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, and the state becomes God. But that too, even though it's subtle, represents a false Christ. So Jesus said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. We've seen that. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We've seen that all over the world for the last 50 years. Famines, droughts, mass starvation, earthquakes all over the world, freak weather. But Jesus says, all these are the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise. We see that everywhere. The false prophets come in the form of the New Age and things like that, and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased. This is not just lawlessness between non-believers. There's going to be lawlessness and hatred between believers. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So in the middle of the signs of the times, there is another development happening. And that is those believers who endure to the end will be saved. And those believers, the remnant church, Christ is saying, will be faithful to preaching the gospel and proclaiming it throughout the entire world as a testimony to all nations. then the end will come. So we have two streams. One is a stream of destruction, and the other is a stream of redemption and salvation and revival. Both will happen simultaneously. Okay, and then we read about the Antichrist, who sets himself up in the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem as the abomination of desolation, and he demands to be worshipped as God as he's sitting in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And at that point, the Antichrist is head of the one world government, the head of the one world religion and the one world economic system, and the mark of the beast is the false prophet, who has the supernatural ability to perform lying signs and wonders and to actually call down fire from heaven. So, then we read about the coming of the Son of Man. I'm going to skip ahead here a little bit, and I want to read this to you in Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and of all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. So that's just part of what Christ wrote about in the signs of the times. So we see when the signs of the times begin to manifest, disease outbreaks, plagues, is one of the key signs of the times. When we move forward, as we've discussed on a regular basis in the series on the Paul McGuire Report, when we move forward and read the book of Revelation, which tragically most Christians don't read anymore, most churches don't preach it, how could you possibly navigate your way through the last days without reading God's prophetic word? So in the book of Revelation, we read about what is called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, who come to judge the earth. And this is a very serious thing, and it's recorded in the book of Revelation. Jesus gives his message of warning, exhortation, and rebuke to the seven churches of the apocalypse. They're worshiping God in the throne room of God. And then, as all this is happening, there are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And as we've been reading to you, one of the horsemen of the apocalypse rides a pale horse. And that pale horse represents plagues, pestilences, potentially biological warfare of incredible magnitude that will kill hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth. Now, that appears to happen during the tribulation period. We're not in the tribulation period yet, at least the seven-year tribulation period. That doesn't mean we're exempt from tribulation and trials and persecution. That's a mistake many Christians make in their study of the Bible. The church and true Christians have always experienced persecution, trials, and tribulation. It's just that at a particular period of time during the seven-year tribulation period that there will be a massive escalation in the intensity of the trials and the tribulation. And so the four horsemen of the apocalypse, one represents economic downturn, other one represents war. And the one we're concerned with right now is the pale horse. Behold the pale horse, who, that's the horse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which characterizes disease outbreak. And when you read the book of Revelation, you see that disease outbreaks are a critical feature of what happens during the tribulation period. So let me give you an example. We read about the rider on a pale horse, okay? And then when we read Revelation chapter 10, it says this in verse 18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. But the power of the horses in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. The rest of mankind were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality of their thefts or their thefts. So we see this judgment, and the judgment takes many forms, but at one point, the passage I want to focus in on is that these plagues or these disease outbreaks end up killing a third of mankind. This is a very serious pandemic. No, I'm not saying that the current coronavirus is that pandemic. I don't believe it is. But that does not minimize the danger of the coronavirus pandemic. So that's part of what we're up against here in the last days. Now, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for the church. But in order for that plan to be fulfilled, and that plan includes supernatural deliverance and protection from disease and from other things, in order for God's plan of deliverance and protection to be released upon his people, God's people must repent, humble themselves before God, turn from their wicked ways, and then God says, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. There has to be a very serious repentance among the people of God. And that brings us up right to the present moment. So going to Revelation chapter 19, we read about the four horsemen. So in Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, it says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Now, the point I want to make here is that this white horse is not one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This white horse is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back from heaven to return to the earth at the second coming. The reason we know that is it says on the horse, it is called Faithful and True. Well, the devil, the Antichrist, is not faithful and true. So in the earlier part of the book of Revelation, when speaking of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, there's another white horse. That's completely different than Jesus Christ being the rider on a white horse. The earlier white horse in the book of Revelation refers to the Antichrist. And notice that the Antichrist, he is depicted in a different manner than Jesus Christ is. And so we need to remember that the white horse among the four horsemen of the apocalypse represents the Antichrist, who's head of a one-world government. So we need to understand what the distinction is. Now, we're going to get into other things in a moment. We're going to get into the coronavirus, surviving the coronavirus, both spiritually, materially, and physically. And we're going to get into, hopefully, into facts and wisdom that are very practical that I believe will help you. We are able to do this program because we have people who are committed to praying for me, my family, and this ministry as intercessory prayer warriors. We need your intercessory prayers more than ever right now because we're in a spiritual battle. We also need people to distribute and send our radio programs, our videos, all our information, to send it, send the links out with your recommendations so it can spread far and wide in the internet and do an end run around internet censorship. And then finally, in season and out of season, we're preaching the gospel. So that means those of you that can, and only you know whether you can or not, we need you to go to the Lord and ask the Lord specifically, Lord, how can I help Paradise Mountain Church, Paul McGuire Ministries, continue to do what they're doing and continue to expand? And Lord, show me exactly how much you want me to contribute or give financially. And if it's some huge amount, then obey God. If it's a modest amount, but the Lord's directing you to be faithful and give on a regular basis, when lots of people gather together and they give small amounts, but they're doing it faithfully, it all adds up. And those of you that God has blessed in an unusual way, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord and do whatever he tells you to do, even if it's outside the box. Let's remember this here, that God is your source right now. Doesn't mean that God doesn't use government, doesn't mean God doesn't use society, doesn't mean God doesn't use man-made systems to meet your needs, because he does. And that's why we need to pray for all those who are in authority above us. But ultimately, behind all that, God is our source. So we always need to remember that. The Pilgrims and Puritans, by the way, when you study the spiritual lives of the Pilgrims and Puritans, and I talk about this in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, whenever the Pilgrims and Puritans faced catastrophic destruction of their crops because of freak weather, which meant they had no food, whenever they were attacked by enemies and were dying, whenever they experienced disease infection among the people and children, they experienced plagues and disease outbreaks, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, and the crops could be infected. There were so many things that came against them, but guess what? The first thing that the Pilgrims and Puritans did in all these cases was they sought the Lord, because they recognized God was their source. And this is what they would say. They would say, these bad things have come upon us because we must have offended God. See, they weren't looking at the government to blame it or whatever. They were looking at their own spiritual condition because God was their source. That's the difference between the Christians in the Pilgrims and Puritans and Christians today. Christians today are not really looking at God as their source. God's there, but he's not really God. He's kind of like, I don't know how you would categorize it. The point is, the Pilgrims and Puritans recognized that when any of these devastations came, they must have offended a holy God. So they would fast and pray and search their hearts and repent of all the sins that they may have been involved in, thought, word, or deed. They searched their hearts and they seriously repented and they cried out to God, fully expecting that when they got their hearts right with the Lord, that the Lord would supernaturally deliver them, supernaturally fight their battles for them, supernaturally provide for them, supernaturally heal them. And God did. And that's the early story of America. So you and I need to remember that. The same with the children of Israel. So the key thing to understand here is we in America and the entire world have undergone a massive shift a massive realignment in just about every area of life. And the only way you're going to make it through this massive realignment is to cry out to God, to pray to God, to renew your mind with the Word of God, to seek the Lord, to ask for His wisdom, to ask for His supply. That is what is going to give you the victory. Yes, you do the practical things. Of course you do the practical things. Yes, you make sure you have some kind of food supply. Yes, you do other things to protect yourself. And we'll get into some of that. And again, my preface is I'm not a medical doctor. I am not giving medical advice. But we're going to get into that in a moment. I want to encourage you to spread this far and wide. You know, communications may be disrupted. Supplies may be disrupted. There are many potential things that can happen. One thing that we can do as the supernatural body of Christ on earth is not to forsake using the power that God has given us when we exercise and use the keys of the kingdom, even in the middle of a coronavirus crisis. We have the privilege in Christ of using the keys of the kingdom, which means Jesus Christ has given us the spiritual authority where He said to us, His church, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Jesus has given us the power of binding things up and loosing them or permitting them. So as believers, praying with other believers in intercessory prayer, or as believers individually praying to God in intercessory prayer, we are not to look at the coronavirus and the chaos and destruction it brings. We are not to look at it with a passivity or a throwing up of our hands and saying, which I believe is a blasphemous thought, actually, and simply say, well, the government will take care of all this. All I have to do is sit back. The government will take care of all this. Or Jesus is going to rapture me before, you know, this gets too intense. Both of those are essentially a sinful response. Yes, pray for government. Yes, government's going to do a lot. But government can't save everything, okay? You're going to need your faith. So you don't, your job is not to make government your idol. You seek the Lord. The Lord is your source. And then the other thing to remember is you're not to just sit back. You're to actively engage in intercessory prayer. Because if God's people will gather together, the remnant church, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you because the Holy Spirit is calling you to this mission. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm telling you right now that the Holy Spirit is calling you into a higher level mission right now. I need to sell this on you. I don't have to convince you of this. If you know the voice of the Lord, and if you recognize the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and if you have the discernment from the Holy Spirit, then you know in your heart, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that when I say to you, the Holy Spirit is calling you right now to a higher level of ministry and response, and the Holy Spirit is calling you to actively combat with spiritual and practical weapons the disease and the accompanying factors of destruction. In other words, anyone who is even remotely spiritually sensitive can sense and know that right now, at this very moment, the Holy Spirit of God is calling you. He's giving you an assignment to step it up, accept your responsibility and your assignment before Him, and obey Him to become a spiritual prayer warrior, an intercessor, a light shining in the darkness, a problem solver who is being guided with wisdom. Well, you can't be a problem solver if you haven't paid the price for acute wisdom in this, in these matters. So if every one of us in the body of Christ was to do what God called us to do, I believe we would see a far quicker rollback of the spread of this disease. I think we would see more results from our government agencies, from our medical agencies, if they were backed with prayer, not criticism. So the Lord's calling you to higher ground right now. You know, it's like the changing of gears in a car. You were living your Christian life and driving in a particular gear, okay? And all of a sudden, God, through these circumstances, has required of you to change gears. So, for example, if you're driving a stick shift and you're going up a steep mountain road, you're going to maneuver your stick shift into position where the engine will function to climb up a very steep terrain. You would position a stick shift differently if you were going down a flat highway. Now, many of you can't relate to that because not that many people drive stick shifts anymore. Your car engine, your transmission, helps you do those things automatically. But even though they're done automatically, you can tell when the engine of your car is in different modes, whether it's like in a cruise mode, or it's driving in a flat surface mode, or it's pulling really intensely to move up or down a mountain road. So the same thing is with your Christian life. You're encountering different terrain, and the Lord is requiring of you to change gears. Now, I don't make this sound overcomplicated. It's not overcomplicated. It simply means that you must have a malleable heart. What is a malleable heart? A malleable heart is a heart that the Lord can deal with, because you have to cultivate your heart like I have to cultivate my heart to make sure my heart is soft and tender before the Lord, that I respond to the Lord with a tender heart and obedience, because I'm willing to be corrected, I'm willing to be directed, et cetera, et cetera. If you go into this spiritual battle that is now raging all around us, and your heart is filled with a hardness of heart, which usually goes hand in hand with pride. So if you're filled with pride in your mind or pride in your heart, and you insist that you alone have all the answers and you have the right theology, et cetera, and you're not open and you don't have a humble heart and you're not open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, you're not open to God dealing with you, you may not make it through this trial. I don't want to scare anyone, but that's the reality of it. That's what happened to the children of Israel when they were delivered out of bondage from Egypt. Not all of them made it into the promised land, as you know full well from reading the Bible. So most of all, every one of us needs a tender, malleable, which means shapeable, heart, so that when the Lord deals with us, which he's going to, because God is love and God wants to prepare you to help your family, your loved ones, your friends. So in order for that to happen, the only way God can move through you is if you've got a humble heart and a tender heart. If you're filled with pride and you have a hard heart, you're going to block the power of God. And in the time of crisis, that's a very, very dangerous place to be, is in a hard heart. So if God requires something of you, or he commands you to do something, your response must not be to just ignore the Lord, turn the other way, harden your heart, make justifications for why you're not obeying the Lord. We're in a time of crisis. God has a special purpose for every one of us who are supernatural members of the body of Christ. Therefore, your heart must be tender, and when the Lord speaks to you, you do what he says. You obey him. And you will discover that as you obey the Lord, as you trust the Lord, as you act on the Lord's direction, he will fill you with his peace and his strength, his favor, and guide you. That's how you supernaturally make it through the last days. And every one of you listening to me here on the Paul McGuire Report, you are faced with those decisions now, and you're going to be faced with them in increasing measure in the upcoming weeks and months. But the good news is that God is love, and God wants to send his power and his deliverance to help you. I'm going to go over a couple of basic principles here, just because iron sharpens iron. And my heart is positioned to be a servant to God's people and to help God's people be victorious in what is coming. Now, I want to just go over a couple of things with you that you may have heard in the media, you may not have heard in the media. But in any case, these things are things that have the potential of helping you to survive, to overcome, and to be victorious. Now, first of all, let's talk about mindset. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If we're going to make our decisions based on fear and panic, we're going to go down, okay? Decisions, plans, paths, ideas. If you're attempting to survive based on a fear-based consciousness, where you're gripped by a spirit of fear, I'm not saying this to pick on you, okay? I'm saying this to share with you the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver you from the spirit of fear. You have to be delivered from the spirit of fear or you're not going to make it. Now, I know that scares you. It's kind of an oxymoron. But the point is, you will not be victorious if you are gripped by a spirit of fear. I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm simply saying that if you will call upon God, and you may have to do this on a regular basis, it may be a battle. But if you call upon God and ask him to, he will remove the spirit of fear from your life, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you're operating in the crisis in a spirit of fear, you're going to crash and burn. But if you're operating in the crisis with power, love, and a sound mind, that's going to help your heart be malleable and open and shapeable and humble to receive counsel and direction from the Lord. Notice that there's a parallel and there's a direct connection between if you're dominated by a spirit of fear, that's going to cause you to have a hard heart that's not malleable or shapeable. And you're going to be rigid and stuck, and you're going to break under pressure. However, if you humbly go to the Lord with childlike faith and repent and say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for inviting and entertaining a spirit of fear in my life. Jesus, I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would supernaturally deliver me from a spirit of fear. I ask right now in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would break the yoke and bondage of the spirit of fear off my life, my family, my loved ones right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you right now, Jesus, by faith that the spirit of fear is broken. The yoke of the spirit of fear is broken off my life. And I command the spirit of fear to leave me and my loved ones right now in the name of Jesus. And I order that spirit of fear to go back into the lake of fire and stay there until Christ fulfills his judgment upon demonic powers like the spirit of fear. So God has given you the power spiritually to take authority over the spirit of fear and drive the spirit of fear out. That does not mean you will not be tempted to be fearful. It does not mean that there will not be a battle from time to time. But But why you should be optimistic is that it's not up to you in your own human strength to defeat the spirit of fear. This is why you can be optimistic. God has clothed you, if you open yourself up to it, God will clothe you with power from on high. When you're clothed with power from on high, you ever see those years and years ago, millions, zillion years ago, when I was a kid watching TV in New York City, I would watch Popeye cartoons all the time. You guys have probably seen Popeye cartoons. At least some of you have. I don't know if they're still playing, but Popeye was a skinny sailor who was like so weak. He smoked a pipe. He had a girlfriend named Olive Oil. But the problem with Popeye was, is that he was like a stick figure and he didn't have any muscles and he was very weak. So whenever he would go to the beach or whatever, there was a big, big tough guy who was overweight, very tall, very strong, very bullying. And his name was Pluto. And Pluto would walk by and always steal Popeye's girlfriend, Olive Oil, and kick sand and humiliate and beat up Popeye. And Popeye was too weak in and of himself to defeat the bully Pluto. So these cartoons were originally made during wartime. So whenever Popeye ate his can of spinach, he would become like Superman. Muscles would ripple, and he would have the strength of Superman. And as long as Popeye would open a can of spinach and eat the spinach down, he could just beat the tar out of Pluto and basically take authority over the beach and hang out with his girlfriend Olive Oil, and Pluto would leave him alone. Now, the reason the spinach, it's not necessarily that the spinach had supernatural power, it's just that the U.S. military wanted these Popeye cartoons produced because they wanted to indoctrinate people with the idea that if they ate healthy foods like spinach, they would be far more stronger, have far better immune systems, and then they could defeat their enemies. So there was a motive to the madness of the Popeye cartoons. In the same way, a believing Christian, you are in and of yourself kind of like Popeye. So am I. We're not that super strong. If we look at Pluto as kind of a type, as a powerful demon, we're not necessarily that strong if we're trying to engage demons, or metaphorically Pluto, with our own strength. If we eat our spinach, which I consider to be the equivalent of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, power from on high, the dunamis, dynamite power of the Spirit of God, if we're filled with the dynamite power of the Spirit of God in the same way that Popeye ate his spinach, then we will be able to take authority over the demonic powers and drive them out of our lives. So that's what's needed in the church in the time of crisis. The time of crisis is here. God has more than enough power to make us victorious, but we have to be open to it, and we have to be willing to lay down our pride and receive power from on high by faith. And then we exercise the dominion. And when we do it collectively and supernaturally as the body of Christ, see, what would happen if tomorrow morning all the internet crashed, all communications crashed, and we went into some kind of martial law situation? What would happen? Well, a lot of the body of Christ would be disconnected. They would be disoriented. They wouldn't know what to do. There would be panic. And sadly to say, all hell would break loose. In America and in other nations of the world, the body of Christ must now rise to the occasion by the grace of God and faith in the resources of Jesus Christ. And you and I, as members of the supernatural body of Christ, must, each one of us, by faith, must be fully capable of operating autonomously, of operating and fulfilling our mission, even though it appears we're all by ourselves and there's nobody else around. The way we're victorious is if the communications grid crashes and if we're isolated physically and we're not in communication, the gospel of Jesus Christ, revival, intercessory prayer, should never grind to a halt simply because the individual members of the body of Christ go into a panic mode and don't know what to do. If we are prepared now by understanding our mission now, by understanding the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ now, and we get that into our hearts now by revelation, should the day come when we can't electronically communicate through the internet or television or physical proximity and we're isolated, should that day ever come, every single person who's a supernatural member of the body of Christ should know, you should know right now what your ongoing assignment and assignments are, whether or not somebody like me comes around to remind you, or whether or not the internet system is functioning or the communication system is functioning. Now, listen to me very carefully, because I believe this is very serious to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to put Bible teachers and leaders into position in the body of Christ that equip God's people now before, I'm not saying that these things are going to happen, but should they happen, we need, each one of us, need to know what our marching orders are, and each one of us, without having to connect with some kind of communication with somebody else, each one of us should know so thoroughly what our mission is in the Lord as a member of the supernatural body of Christ that should communication lines fragment, should media fragment, should isolation occur, we as the supernatural body of Christ, not just in America, but in every nation on planet Earth, the supernatural body of Christ should be able to carry on victoriously and to continue victoriously the mission assignment that Jesus Christ has given each one of us, whether or not we have some kind of ongoing human communication system. In other words, the Lord is trying to accelerate our spiritual growth and maturity. So we come to the place, each one of us come to the place individually where we are fully capable of obeying the Lord as an invisible member in the supernatural body of Christ. Why? Because we know now, before the time of trial happens, what our particular assignments are. Now, I cannot stress to you how important, how vitally important it is for every Christian to understand with revelation knowledge what I just shared with you for the last 15 minutes. It is imperative, it is mandatory, it is essential that the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives you a revelation of that truth. Because as members of the supernatural body of Christ, Jesus Christ has given every member of the supernatural body of Christ the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor. You see, Jesus lives inside of us. So even though electronic communications may crash and burn, even though satellite, internet, radio, TV, and other means or physical communication, if all that, if every mode of human communication was to crash or be censored, more likely censored, if it was all to be censored or crashed, every one of us who are truly born again and members of the supernatural body of Christ should be able to fully carry on victoriously doing our own individual assignments without having somebody to check up on us, without having to have some kind of communication. We should be able to, each one of us, function independently by faith, knowing full well by faith that the greater body of Christ in America and across the world, that there are millions of other Christians who are walking by faith and carrying out their mission by faith. Okay? This way, there's nothing in the world system that can stop the mission of Jesus Christ before he returns. So, you have to know what your spiritual gifts are, you have to know what your natural gifts are, and you have to know what your assignment is. Don't overcomplicate it, but you better seek the Lord, you better get off your posterior, get your face in the Word. You could know the whole thing in a couple hours. Don't overcomplicate it. Some of you are called to be intercessory prayer warriors. You know, those of you that are intercessory prayer warriors are already waging spiritual warfare in multi dimensions. You know what your assignment is. I would venture to say that most of the spiritual prayer warriors are on the advance here. And you know what to do. You know how to pray. Then it comes to evangelism, feeding the poor and the hungry, Bible teaching, teaching the word, guarding against apostasy and spiritual deception. The network, the underground networking and distribution that will occur in that kind of time. The networking and distribution that will occur in the body of Christ during that time. That will not stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can read all the stories in the Bible, the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel from Egypt, the story of Joshua and Caleb, the story of Jesus Christ and the disciples, and story after story, well, not story, historical account after historical account in the Bible. And you will see that in the time of trial and difficulty, those men and women of God who were doing what the Lord told them to do, you do it by faith. You don't do it because you're getting applause. You don't do it because somebody's telling you to do it. You do it because you're walking in communion with God and the Lord is telling you what to do and how to do it. So, no cop-outs. You'll know, you may not do it perfectly, so what? But you will know what to do and how to do it if you begin it now. And it's not hard. No excuses about how hard and complex it is. That's a cop-out. Any little child can figure it out. That's the way God set up his kingdom. So if we do that, and we move into the last days, God's people will be victorious. Millions of people can come to Christ in a massive soul harvest, in a massive biblical revival. This coronavirus, not that I would wish it upon anyone, may be the very hammer that God uses to shatter the hard hearts of people in America, around the world, and even in the church, so they cry out to God. Now, I'm not saying God is sending the coronavirus on people. Please understand me. But that doesn't mean God would not use the coronavirus, even though he didn't send it, as an instrument to shatter the hard hearts, because that's the reason we have the basic problems. Now, there are going to be media platforms censored, removed, crashed, taken down in the near future. You need to be prepared for that. You need to know, for example, how to follow this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries, wherever we go. We have lots of media platforms. The same would be true of other media platforms and spokespeople that are feeding you. You need to know where they go when it appears that they're gone. But you see, we really won't be gone. We will just have moved from these social media platforms to social media platforms somewhere else. Okay? They'll still be accessible to you, but if you haven't paid attention to what I'm saying to you now, you're going to be lost. So you go to paulmcguire.us, and I would suggest you print out or write out all the social media platforms we're on. So if something happens on some, you'll be able to find us. And that's why we have alternatives. That's why we're on Brighteon.com. The Paul McGuire Report is on Brighteon.com for that very reason, where we have our video prophetic updates. We have You can hear the teaching and be blessed by up-to-date teaching of Paradise Mountain Church on our Roku channel. And you can get the Roku channels free. All this stuff is free. I was just reviewing just some. There must be thousands of hours. I don't want to exaggerate. It's some enormous body of radio programs and teaching on all kinds of subjects. And you know what? The overwhelming majority of it, like 99% of it, is free. We don't charge you anything for that. And you can go in there and be fed and blessed and ministered to and find answers. But we don't charge anything for that. We don't charge anything for the program. We don't even have advertisers. But what we need and what we do have and what I'm very thankful for is we have fellow believers in the supernatural body of Christ who obey God and who make financial contributions and donations to keep us going. People who really listen to the Lord and people who know that when they buy our books and things like that, they're helping to fund the ministry. But the vast majority of what we do in the ministry, including Paradise Mountain Church, it's all free, of course, because our goal is to do what the Lord wants us to do. Now, I want to go over a couple of things in terms of wisdom. Let's just call this part of the Paul McGuire report today, iron sharpens iron. Okay? I want to share with you just a few concepts that I want you to think about. Again, I'm not a medical doctor. Don't blame me, because I have told you many times you need to double check any information you receive by going to a qualified medical doctor who understands these things. Let me share something with you. One, whether we like our government or not, whether we like this politician or not, whether we like our governor or not, whatever it is, we need to pray for those in authority above us. Like it or not, those are the people that are there. And if we don't pray for them, all hell will break loose. Look, it's tempting to gripe, criticize, harp our governmental systems, our politicians, which we may or may not agree with. It's easy to criticize and complain. And you may have all the reason to complain that, you know, there may be reasons you're complaining that are legitimate. But that's not going to solve the situation. What we have is what you've got. You got what you got. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. So we need to humble ourselves and pray for these men and women. Because if we don't pray for these men and women, demonic forces, I'm not saying they're being possessed by demons, but forces of darkness and confusion and destruction and human greed will guide them. So we have to bind that. We have to be intercessory prayer warriors and shine the light and shine the light wherever you are. Many of you, God has put in a position of authority and power of some kind. Use it wisely. Okay, I want to go over these things on the Paul McGuire Report. And by the way, you visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, please write down all our social media channels, all right? Now, I want to share a couple of things with you, a couple of principles. Number one, God is raising up leaders for this hour. Leaders that God is raising up. The leaders that God raises up don't have to put a big sign up saying, quote, I am God's leader. Okay? You'll know God's leaders by their fruit and by the way they handle themselves. God will give you spiritual discernment to discern between legitimate Christian leadership and illegitimate Christian leadership. You're responsible to be mature enough to discern the difference. God is raising up leaders for this hour, but you have got to direct your attention and get your information to legitimate, authentic leaders that God has raised up. Okay, very important, because if you're getting the wrong information, you're not going to do well. Every one of us, you know, it's not enough to just scare people into total terror about what's happening. That's not going to help them. Legitimate spiritual leadership will function as a voice giving you practical solutions. Let me say this again. Authentic, legitimate Christian leadership will function as a voice for practical solutions for people and God's people. Illegitimate Christian leadership will go off on the deep end, criticizing, ripping people apart, etc., etc. Know the difference. Remember that we're dealing with a monstrous and not that all that well-managed bureaucracy in the United States and other nations. That's why they need our prayer, okay? Nobody expected this was going to happen. They should have known. They should have been prepared, but they're not. So complaining about it isn't going to help. We need to pray for people in the bureaucracy, whether we like them or not. They need to be anointed. Now, I know this is a hard prayer for some of you. It's a hard prayer for me because I would rather be annoyed about the bureaucracy, but that's not going to solve the problem. The bureaucracy is what we've been given, and there's a reason for that. The apathy of God's people in the voting process, for the most part. So we have to pray for those in the bureaucracy that God would supernaturally anoint them, and he can. They don't have to be saved for God to use them, okay? They don't have to be Christians for God to use them. We need to remember that government, a lot of Christians are subtly perceiving government as their God or idol. They're looking to government to be their God. That's the root sin, one of the biggest root sins in America. It's not that government should not be honored. It's not that God does not have a place for government. He does. But government and God are two different things. God is God and government is government. And God uses government. In this time of crisis, if you follow panic, if you follow the herd instinct, if you get into mass hysteria, you're going to miss God's call, God's wisdom, and God's anointing. I was talking with somebody who's an expert in this area, who had a great deal of wisdom, and he was talking to me about generals in the U.S. military in recent history. In times of crisis, when everyone else was panicking, some of the most successful generals in human history, in American history especially, they did not freak out. They did not go timid in a time of absolute crisis. These effective generals were audacious. They were bold. They thought so much bigger than the bureaucrats were. And because of their boldness, their audacious nature, and the fact that they relied on real facts and real experience, they defeated horrible enemies like the Nazis and others from literally conquering the world. The key is God wants his people to be counterintuitive. What is counterintuitive? Well, most of you know. Most people, the masses are following a particular intuitive approach to how to survive, which is the wrong approach. Sometimes God wants us to be counterintuitive, to go against the flow. The way that we're effective in that is we have to cry out to God, like it says in the book of Proverbs. We have to cry out to God in prayer, fasting, asking God for wisdom and guidance, a plan. We have to seek the Lord. I mean, intensely, man. You can't just play games with God. I seek the Lord intensely. I'm not trying to puff myself up. I'm not better than any of you. Everybody in the ministry is in the ministry because of grace, unmerited favor. I do not claim to be better than anybody. I'm a servant saved by grace. But when I put my head on the pillow at night, ever since, well, it's been going on for a long time, I cry out to God. I bring my family and friends and people associated with our ministry and supporters of our ministry. I bring them by the blood of Jesus Christ into the throne room of God. And I do some serious spiritual warfare inside the throne room of God. I don't take it for granted. I'm using my kingdom authority in the privacy of the throne room of God, which I enter through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? That is a biblical principle in prayer. That's why it says, come boldly to the throne of grace, where you will find an ever-present help in time of need or trouble. So you come boldly to the throne of God. You cry out to him for wisdom. And then you study and you compare facts and information. Because if you're going off boldly, half-cocked, then you're risking the lives of your loved ones, the church, your family, your friends, your fellow Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ, all across the world. You're risking people's lives. If you are being foolish and presumptuous, and you haven't bothered to get the facts, which requires humility and study, studying authentic integrity sources, then when you are bold and audacious, operating on the facts, you can conquer the powers of darkness and set God's people and many other people free. That's how critical it is that you're connected to reality and the facts. Now, I'm going to say something right at this juncture. I want to issue a word of warning. The word of warning is there's too many people in the body of Christ in America right now. I'm just speaking of America because that's where I live. It probably is going on in whatever nation you're listening to me in. There's an excessive proliferation of self-anointed, self-proclaimed prophets. There is a huge number of people who are standing up proclaiming to be prophets. They're self-anointed. They're proclaiming to be God's leaders for this time. They're claiming to have supernatural and prophetic insight into what's happening in the future. All right? This is a very serious thing. And I'm not saying that every single person who stands up and offers a word or assumes the position of leadership, I am not by any means saying that every single person, I'm not using a scattershot approach and saying, well, they're all false prophets. I am not saying that. Please hear me accurately. Some of them are authentic Christian leaders. We may disagree on theology and things like that, but that God is raising up many authentic leaders. You have to discern the difference between an authentic biblical leader and a false one. But at the same time, now here's my word of warning. There are authentic ones being raised up, voices you can trust, but then there are many whose voices you should consider questionable. You should use discernment, and you certainly should not be following a lot of these voices and self-proclaimed prophets and self-proclaimed dreamers and visionaries. You should not just be blindly following people who have anointed themselves. Because unless you use your discernment and compare it to the word and knowledge, there's a very real danger right now. There's a whole lot of people who may not realize it. They may even be saved. But they have fallen into the category of the false prophet, the false teacher, and in some cases, the false Christ. I am deadly serious about what I just said to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit of God would convict your heart, circumcise your heart so that you can tell the difference between the real and the false in the kingdom of God. There are voices, you don't even have to place a final judgment on some of the voices, but it would be prudent regarding people who are telling you what's going to happen in America supernaturally, what's going to happen in our government supernaturally, what's going to happen with the coronavirus supernaturally. It would be very prudent and wise of you to obey the Lord And what does the Lord tell us in terms of how to evaluate all these different prophets and voices and stuff? Read the word, for crying out loud. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So God has erected a system of checks and balances. And one of the ways we can tell that false prophets distinguish them from the true prophets or leaders of God is that we consult a multitude of godly leaders that have long-term track records of accuracy and who demonstrate all of the characteristics of genuine Christian leadership. People who you don't know who they really are, who hide behind fictitious names or may even use real names, but whose Christian leadership and public Christian ministry is comparatively short in span. By that I mean maybe they've been around for 1, 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years at the most. Look, you don't make prophecies that affect the future of America based on 5 years of experience in the ministry, or 3 years, or 2 years, or 1 year. Or there are people we don't even know who they are because they're using pseudonyms and false names or whatever and giving all these prophecies and dreams. Why are you following that? Why are you following people who do not have an authentic, verifiable, accountable track record? Would you go invest your money in such in a scam? No, it is your responsibility before God not to be a fool. I'm going to be very direct. A fool is somebody who just takes the first thing that somebody gives them and runs with it and believes it. You need to compare and contrast. You need to remember, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And people who are sedating you and putting you to sleep because they're spelling out this fairy tale about what's happening. Okay. Is what they're claiming, they're claiming that God spoke to them. They're claiming that God showed them things. They're claiming that God gave them wisdom and dreams and revelation and in inside knowledge. There's a lot of people who claim that. They're all over the place. How do you know what they're saying is accurate or true? You have to use discernment. There's certain warning signs that should be obvious. If someone does not have a biography that goes back a sufficient period of time, they're not verifiable. If nobody knows who they are, why are you putting their trust in them? At the very least, you should reserve your judgment and be in a hyper-caution mode until you get confirmation. There are people telling God's people and shame on you if you just bought into all this. If you just drank the Kool-Aid, shame on you. God never told you to drink the Kool-Aid. But they're telling you, oh, everything's part of a plan. You know, this is some plan right from the beginning, and we got it all down. And, you know, we're bringing down the deep state and blah, blah. How do you know how do you know? I'm not saying that it is, but how do you know that that voice isn't a function? How do you know that voice telling you all that isn't part of the deep state? Sedating you with the calming words you want to hear, putting you to sleep, causing you to be inactive, causing you to stop being vigilant, causing you to back down and retreat because after all, well, God's got it all under control and everything that's happening is, you know, is being done by the super secret patriots who are going to save our nation and blah, 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 blah. Really? Is that what's really happening? Or are you just being told that so that evil can continue? You know, psyops, man. I've studied psyops or psychological operations for 35 years. Psyops is when you work over a population psychologically before you conquer them. How do you know that some of these people aren't part of a sophisticated psyops operation to put you to sleep because you think there's some great mysterious plan just about to save you? Doesn't that sound a little bit like a fairy tale? I mean, come on, wake up. Iron sharpens an iron. The Jews didn't believe that Adolf Hitler was killing millions of Jews. They totally thought it was a lie. And the Jews basically are very smart people. See, they didn't believe their people were being killed. And because they didn't believe their people were being killed, Hitler grew stronger and stronger and stronger. Do you think Hitler didn't use psyops? Of course he did. So my warning to the body of Christ and to you is, circumcise your heart with the word of God and the sword of truth. Know the word of God. Stop being fooled because somebody is telling you what you want to hear. And fight for the truth. Use spiritual discernment or you're going to be taken down. Now, true, legitimate leadership doesn't ally itself with one political party or another. No Christian minister, the body of Christ, you absolutely can vote for the candidate, the party that you feel is more biblical. You absolutely should vote for the presidential candidate that you feel before God is a better choice. That's fine. That's fine. But the body of Christ in America is not supposed to be the handmaiden of any political party. That means it's not supposed to be the handmaiden of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Never forget that. You don't prostitute the mission of salvation and the last day's soul harvest for simply politics. It doesn't mean you abandon politics, but politics isn't going to save anybody. It's important, very important. And then study, know the latest developments. Let me give you a couple of things to consider. This coronavirus is a very tricky virus. It's tricky because you could have two hospital beds and they give one person who has the coronavirus a particular treatment and that person gets better. And then they give the same treatment to somebody else who has the coronavirus in the next bed and they get worse. Why is it that one person gets worse and one person gets better? They don't know. There are all these what they call accelerants to the coronavirus, things that can accelerate the destruction of the coronavirus. So you need to be very diligent and not lazy. If you can't get your hands on what they call a 95 mask, which is the best mask, then use some kind of construction mask and wrap around a thick shawl or cloth or whatever, many layers to cover your nose, some kind of glasses to cover your eyes, and do not breathe in without wearing some kind of scarf, many layered or whatever, or some kind of construction mask with a scarf or whatever. The best thing is the 95. It's not perfect, but one of the major ways of transmission is projectiles of infection coming from the lungs or nasal passages of people standing around you. I was in a supermarket the other day and it was driving me crazy. People do not respect the social distance. People are coughing around me. They're not standing 6 feet away. They keep coming in closer and closer and closer. That is not a safe place to be in. That is, these people don't have any idea about the spread of disease. The other thing is, make sure you cook all your food at least 350 degrees. Do not eat raw food of any kind. Do not eat any food where somebody could have sneezed on it or infected hands. That means you're going to have to find a way to either cook things like apples or whatever. I don't know if scrubbing gets it off. Banana peels. Okay, so great. The banana, you know, has not been infected because it's covered by the banana peel. But how do you know somebody's germy hands haven't been on the bananas? This, besides the dispersal of projectiles from the lungs and the nasal passages, is one of the primary means of transmission. People are getting it through food supplies, boxes that are infected. Okay? You've got to no more raw food. You can't eat raw food. It could have the virus on it, and no one would know for two weeks. Understand that if you're ordering packages to come to your home, that you should open the, you should have gloves on, double gloves, and then wash them every time, or double rubber gloves, along with the mask, along with taking showers afterwards, along with doing your laundry afterwards. You're constantly, it's going to be exhausting, but you have to constantly sanitize and wash. So every package that comes to your house that you order, you need to open outside or leave it alone inside for, like, I don't know, 3 weeks minimum. You got to check how long the disease can last on cardboard boxes and stuff. And if you're going to open it, then you open these boxes, these mailing pouches that you get. You open them outside of your house, throw them in the garbage outside of your house while you're wearing gloves, while you're wearing a mask. And then you're going to have to, it's hard work, you're going to have to meticulously wipe down what's inside the packages, whether it's computer supplies, whether it's cans of food, whether it's whatever, whether it's Band-Aids, whatever you're ordering from outside, you don't know if it's contaminated. So you're going to have to sterilize it with something, a sterilization agent. You're going to have to look it up because it keeps changing, like what will actually kill the disease. And then you're going to have to wash your hands on the whole thing. You're going to have to, look, you're going to have to sterilize everything that's coming to the front door of your house before you bring it into your house. And then if you bring it into your house, you need to have double gloves, just like if you went outside, double gloves, a mask over your eyes so nothing can get into your eye area and your nasal passages. And then after you've wiped everything down and thrown the boxes that, that stuff came to your house in the mail in the garbage, because that could be having, you see, the people carrying the mail and the transportation and companies and stuff, they could have could be infected. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't dangerous. And here's a word of warning to young people. A lot of young people are contracting the coronavirus because they're doing things and they haven't discovered what it is. Certain things are accelerating the spread of the coronavirus. You need to treat all the packages and everywhere you go, just like they were radioactive and contaminated with radioactive with radiation from an atomic bomb. No, I'm serious. You have to have the same mentality when you go out, when you touch boxes, when you touch supplies, that this could be contaminated with radiation. You need to be in that same hyper alert mode, and you need to disinfect it with the proper disinfectants. Alcohol or whatever. And for, you need to read how long the application has to be there and read because, you know, it's not 15 days. To be safe, I think it's a minimum of 3 weeks because they don't know how long this virus will last on packages and boxes and clothing, etc. And that's why you need to continually wash your clothing, continually wash your hands, continually use the proper sanitizer, continually sanitize to the point of hyperphobia. This is a game of survival. We're not playing games, okay? We're not playing games. This is called survival. You need to have some money on hand in case the banks close. It doesn't look like they are going to close, but you shouldn't have like a dollar in your hand. You need to keep abreast of what government monies could possibly be sent to you, what you possibly qualify for. You need to stay on top of these things, okay? What happens if you're quarantined in your house? Okay, so I didn't say that to make anybody afraid. I'm just saying iron sharpens iron. I'm here out of love to take the sword of the spirit and sharpen your sword of the spirit. Iron sharpens the iron. I've talked to people who are experts who have very high up sources. They're giving me information. The information they're giving me is iron sharpening iron to me, and I'm going to use that same iron to sharpen the iron in your life so that you can survive. It's about love. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't confront you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, above all, saturate your life in prayer. Claim the promises of God. But you don't claim the promises of God and then forget to do the practical things. That's a cheating cop-out, and you're going to suffer for it. You do the practical things, you do the spiritual things. It's a multidimensional approach. So again, read Psalms 91 and other passages in the Bible. Claim healing. Claim healing for your family, your home. Claim God's protective power when you go out. You fight the disease supernaturally. Ask God to heal you and strengthen your immune system. Wage war with the spiritual weapons that God has given you. Remember, Jesus Christ sends his divine healing power to all those people who would reach out and receive it. God heals. The healing virtue of Jesus Christ can come into your body. You can claim healing. You do all that, but you also rely on doctors, medicine, and wisdom. It's a multidimensional approach, not a single-dimensional approach. So on that, I want to encourage you. We were told by God that we would enter the last days. Well, guess what? I'm not saying this to be arrogant. I'm not saying this to be rude. But I think of all these churches that militantly, absolutely refused to teach Bible prophecy. And they would fight people like me militantly for daring to teach Bible prophecy, accusing me of everything. Now, I'm not here to sing the blues. I'm not here to get out my violin and say, feel sorry for me. Because if I allow myself to get stuck in the place of getting hung up on the fact that their hearts were hard and they weren't interested in Bible prophecy, I can't move on with God. Okay, they did it. That's fine. I'm moving on. I mean, I'm not abandoning them. I'm committed to them in love, but I'm not gonna get stuck in a place where my focus is what they didn't do right. My focus needs to be on what I need to do right before the Lord. And together we can make it through this. Together, if we pray for our nation or any nation you live in, we can see God turn this around. Okay? God wants to bring in a last day soul harvest. But this is now where the rubber really meets the road. And if we as the supernatural body of Christ cry out to him, he will move in our personal lives and he will move in our national lives and on a global level. So I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith and allow the power of the Lord to strengthen you. Remember to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We are able to stay on the air in these difficult times because of your prayers, you're spreading the word far and wide, and you're choosing to listen to the Lord and obey the Lord in terms of your financial donations and contributions. God bless you. I mean it when I say keep the faith. That's the way out. That's your ticket out. That's the way to victory. Keep the faith. And by the faith, I mean the faith in the saving message of Jesus Christ. God bless you, your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. Remember, Jesus is Lord. He called you for such a time as this. That didn't expire with the coronavirus. We continue on in faithfulness. We preach the gospel in season and out of season. God bless you, Paul McGuire.